want to extend Christian greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly count it a privilege to be with you. And I can echo the thoughts of Brother Linden speaking to a group of ordained brethren. There's a little hesitancy, but on the other side of it is great courage. Because I have brethren here that had the same passion, the same desires, the same temptations that I do. So in that, I come with confidence because God is here. This morning, the title of my message is Measuring Growth in Our Congregations. You know, as I pondered this message this morning, as I studied, how do we measure spiritual growth? Number of questions that come. Is spiritual growth numbers? How did Jesus measure spiritual growth? You know, as I pondered this message also, you know, in a minister's life, there are rewards and there are sorrows. But I think one of the greatest rewards of a minister is to see growth in his own personal life and those in his congregation. What is our measuring stick this morning? This idea of measuring. You know, in the work that I am in, we spend thousands of dollars on measuring accuracy. We even have men come in every 2 years and certify those test stands for accuracy. So this morning, the measuring stick is this book right here. It gets so good, it gets to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what it does. It's the Bible says in Hebrews 4. That's our measuring stick, brethren. You know, in our work, we have a robot that measures, they say, measures finer and faster than what a human being can. But you know, this Bible is more accurate when it talks about measuring spiritual growth than any instrument that's out there. We hold in our hands the most accurate measuring stick. The scriptures. The word is our measuring stick. And oh, this word spiritual. In our day out there, there's many versions of that. But may I say this morning, we are no more spiritual than we are scriptural. And as I pondered this message, another thought just kept coming through my mind is this area of growth. Growth. And as I go through this message, you'll see them interchangeably in the message. What is growth? What is the difference between growth and maturity? Those words will come out in this message this morning. Is it the same thing? Growth is the process of becoming mature. Spiritual growth is not so much where we are, but where are we going this morning? And what are some evidences of spiritual growth? Where are we headed in our congregations? The next 20, 30 years, if the Lord tarries. You know, today, we are where we are because of the previous generation. But today, we are sowing what the next generation will be. That's a sobering thought, dear ones, to me. a sobering thought. Today we're sowing what the next generation will be. As I look at the first part of this message, it says measuring or evaluating spiritual growth from the scriptures or the lack of it. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul here at the church at Corinth, Paul was measuring spiritual growth or the lack of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 11. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not yet carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? For who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, unto me, as unto a wise master builder. I have laid a foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid is Jesus Christ. Paul was measuring here at Corinth their spiritual level. He said they're carnal. He said he fed them with milk and not with meat of the scriptures. They were not ready for it as they should have been. What was wrong here in his church? There was envy, there was strife, there was divisions. He said, you walk as men. That word walk as men, carnal, following fleshly impulses, being controlled by them. They walk like men, followers of men with human, their own human nature instead of the divine nature. These things stunt spiritual growth. In order for spiritual growth to take place in a congregation, there must be unity, there must be harmony, especially in the ministry. And I don't think that was a problem here in the ministry. But the people were seeing it that way. In some cases, it can be. You know, there's things that I guess I challenge us as ministry. Do we see the gifts in our brethren? Maybe that we don't have. Or do you focus on their failures, brethren? I'm concerned about that. It exposes our affection this morning how we view that. You know, I marvel at the gifts in the ministry of our home, in our brothers there in the home congregation. They have gifts that I don't have, and I praise the Lord for them. We don't all have the same gifts. But I'm afraid far too many times, even in conservative settings, we focus on the wrong thing. And we stunt spiritual growth by that. If there's not harmony in the ministry, there will not be harmony in our congregations. Mark that down, dear ones. And there won't be growth there. We all have our various gifts. But he said, notice he says here, but the Lord gives the increase. It's not me, it's not you, dear one, dear brethren. It's the Lord's the one that gives the increase. In verse 9, he talks about, we are laborers together with God. Remember, it's his work, it's not mine, it's not yours, it's his work, it's God's work. We labor with him. And dear ones, you know, back in, I think the verses are so familiar to us, but I think we take them for granted sometimes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we're dealing with church work and things that we have to do, is that verse still alive in your life? We carry it with him. He helps us bear those burdens and share those. Oh, so if I did it alone, it would be so heavy without him. And so times I'm tempted to take it that way. But it's so good to know that he's there to help us carry the load. And remember, after all, we are unprofitable servants no matter what we do, dear ones. That's where we are. In verse 10, he talks about take heed how we're building thereon. Measuring growth. That's what he's doing. Paul was measuring growth here. The art of ministry, dear ones, this morning, is to teach men to follow Christ, and then they will follow earthly leadership into proper perspective. Dear ones, if we miss that, we get in trouble. If we teach men to follow men, we've missed the mark. Christ is the foundation, he says here. It's not about us, it's about Christ this morning. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Again, where there Paul was measuring growth. Hebrews 5:11-14. Says, of whom we have many things to say that are hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, and not with strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm evaluating our congregations, dear ones. Are they listening? Are they dull of hearing? That's what he says here. The Lord expects us to grow and become teachers, and not always to be taught. And just the other evening, I was talking with an individual who was coming into our congregation, and we had a meeting together. I said, Marvin, he said, I want to learn. I said, I do too. But the Lord wants us to bring to be teachers, to grow, to become teachers. He doesn't always need to be willing to be taught, but we also need to become teachers. Are we seeing these kind of people in our congregations? In verse 13, he says, unskillful. The emphasized says, inexperienced or ignorant. We need to be men of the word. Know the word. Know the scriptures, what they say. Maturity and understanding of the word. In verse 14, he says, strong meat belongs to those who have the ability to discern both good and evil. In the applications for our day. And what they mean. That's where strong meat is. Do we have those in our congregations? I thank God for those that we have. They're able to discern good and evil. We have those in our congregations that are different stages of life and maturity. Areas of need. The question, are we going in the right direction? Those who see the applications to biblical principles of the church as an asset. They'll see areas in their own lives and make applications there as well. The spiritual man evaluates and sees
the good or evil and long-term effects of a decision now. From a biblical standpoint, do we have those kind of people in our congregations for spiritual growth? Not only the ability to make decisions, but to be able to teach. The second part of this message is, are numbers necessarily an evidence of spiritual growth? Are numbers necessarily evidence of spiritual growth? You know, Jesus, as he evaluated the seven churches of Asia in Revelations, Jesus was evaluating their spiritual growth there. Not once was numbers mentioned, but repeatedly it was their doctrine, their attitudes, their character, their love for Christ. You know, he didn't only evaluate those churches in Revelations 2 and 3. But today he's evaluating the churches that I'm responsible for. The churches you are responsible for. What is he saying to me and what is he saying to you about growth? Acts 6 verse 7 says, you know, in the early church, the church grew in numbers. Acts 6 verse 7 says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. I ask you a question this morning. How does the word of God increase? You know what the rest of that verse says? It says, the rest of the verse says, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. That's how it increases. That's how to, in order for numbers to count, growth and obedience of faith must be paramount and forefront. I'd like to take you to another passage in this idea of growth in numbers. To John chapter 6, verses 60 to 61. Jesus here speaking. Does not, in thinking of this idea, do numbers count? John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. Now I'd like to read the context, the backdrop of this passage here. Was Jesus was talking to them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. All they could see was the literal. How could this happen? They could not understand the spiritual part of this. But in verses 60 to 71, it says, many of his disciples, and when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus himself, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there were some of you that believed not, for Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who they should be, who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it is that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus said here, it's a hard saying. It was talking about his deity, his suffering, and partakers of his suffering. In verse 61, it says, does this offend you? Jesus has been again talking about the flesh and the spirit. And it says from verse 66, it says, from that time on, many went back and walked no more with him. They may have realized he wasn't going to be the earthly king that he thought he was going to be. And then Jesus looked at his 12 disciples. He said, will you also go away? And they said, Peter said in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What are some lessons from this passage in light of numbers and spiritual growth? When considering measuring spiritual growth, holding to a biblical standard is more important than numbers. That's what Jesus was teaching here. When Jesus began to lay down the cost of discipleship, many turned away. The principle here is to have committed disciples is more important than numbers. There is a danger in focusing on numbers alone. Numbers can be a result of spiritual growth, but not necessarily an evidence of spiritual growth. Reducing the cost of discipleship to gain numbers is unscriptural. While numbers are in this context, and sometimes they do have something to say about our administration. I'd like to say that in the end. Why I say that? Why did the early church grow at such fast rate? Why did our Anabaptist forefathers in the 1500s grow such a fast rate? Why did the church grow so fast during the Depression years of the 30s? I'm told, as I study a little bit of history, it was a growth in the Mennonites over that time. It was a growth in the other conservative settings over that time. Why was it? Tremendous growth in numbers. What about today? In most denominations, I'm told that there was growth in the church. There wasn't no money there. You know, as I look at this idea, evaluating evidences of spiritual growth, I find as I go among people, among churches, there's an increase of people that are without membership. They attend, but not members. What about that, brethren? Are you burdened for that? Are we doing something about that? And what can we do? The scripture says, pulling them out of the fire. What does that mean? How does that work out in practical experience? Some saved by compassion. Others with fear. What are we doing about it? You know, sometimes there's some people come into our congregations. It challenges me myself too. That they sit there in another congregation out of membership for a number of years and then they come to us. But you know what? I know this might be contrary to our conservative thinking, but I'd like to challenge us in this area. They never made any moves to come. I want to tell you something, dear ones. Jesus said the 99 are safe in the fold, but going out to seek that one that's gone astray, are we doing that? Don't wait till they come to us. Are we going to them? Are we seeing the needs to minister to those needs? And then Jesus said, when that one which has gone astray come back, the whole body rejoices. I'll tell you what, brethren, when you experience that, it's a tremendous blessing. It brings spiritual growth in our congregations. I would like to compare, do some comparisons between the physical growth and the spiritual growth. There's some real comparisons there. You know, when I talk to little children back at the back and meet them and say, "How old are you?" And they may be six and say, "I'm going to be seven." There's a desire within those children to grow. But do we see that same kind of desire within ourselves and in our congregations? But you know what? When you get to my age, you don't say, "I'm going to be 59 next," do you? Do you see that same kind of eagerness in our congregations? You know, sometimes church attendance on Wednesday evenings, Sunday evenings can be a thermometer. What do we talk about after church? Is another indicator. Is it the scriptures that have been talked about, or we go back to work and, you know, all those kind of things? I'm not saying it's totally wrong to talk about those, some of those things, but how do they relate to fleshing the Bible out of the scriptures in everyday life, in our work? That you can talk about. You know, in our spiritual growth, I tell my children, with age comes both privilege and responsibility. And so it does in our spiritual life. But you know, at times, dear ones, I don't think we ought to be discouraged in our congregations either. You know, at times there's physical growth greater than at other times. You know, when boys get to be 12 to 16, I mean, they just really grow. I think we see that in our congregations at times. There's times where there's greater growth than others. And it's okay. But are we going the right direction? You know, there my mother-in-law lives us down in the trailer from us. And she's 85 and hardly wants to eat. You know, eating is a sign of a healthy body. And we don't eat, we wonder what's wrong. The same is true spiritually, brethren. Do we see that in our congregations? Are they having their personal devotions? Are they at church whenever the doors are open? And then, another one. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to take time to read that. Paul compares the church to the human body. You know, when each does their part, it works together for the good of the whole. And that's spiritual growth. When one suffers, we all suffer. I tell you what, it's a blessing to experience that in church life. It's a blessing beyond compare in the last year and a half over our son's accident, to see the church respond in such a way. When one suffers, we all suffer. I tell you, that's a blessing. That's evidence of spiritual growth in our congregations, I believe, and maturity. But you know what? I think it's almost easier to suffer with one when one suffers. But he also talks about rejoicing when one rejoices. That might be a little tougher for us. How about it, brethren? When you share in a ministry, and there's a brother that can preach better than you or can do something else better than you, can you rejoice with him? Or I don't care what it is, he can do better than I can. Oh, dear ones, what about jealousy when it comes up to those kind of things? I'm afraid sometimes that's trouble among us. Can we rejoice with our fellow minister who's more successful than I am? Or does jealousy rise up? Does it matter who gets the credit? When it doesn't matter, it's spiritual growth in our congregations. God will not tolerate pride behind his pulpit. Another one in relation to that illustrates in Matthew 13, plants, the parable of the sower. You know, this spring, my wife and I both, we love lilacs. We probably got 4 or 5 lilac bushes. And early in the spring, I watched the green come forth. Then inside that green leaf was the bud, and I was just waiting for that bloom. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father is looking down at you and I and looking for the blooms to come forth from your life and my life. He is. And when he sees those blooms, they're spiritual growth and maturity in our lives. In the lives of our people. But you know, they're healthy plants. But you know what healthy plants need? We plant our gardens. They need to be cultivated. There's weeds that need pulled. Yeah, there is. In order for that to happen, and brethren, we're called to pull the weeds and to cultivate. Sometimes pulling weeds are not the nicest things to do. But you know, if we don't get those weeds out of our gardens, out of our churches, there's not going to be growth there. We need to pull the weeds. We need to cultivate. We need to encourage our brothers and sisters for healthy growing in our congregations. Encouraging, inspiring them. Don't let the weeds take over in our congregations. The last part of this message, I've entitled Evidence of Spiritual Growth and Maturity. There are many evidences in individuals and in congregations. And this is, I look at these individually, but they also affect us. I'm looking right here, brethren. It starts right here. Now, this is a ministry. If we want growth in our congregations, it's going to have to start right here. Instead of comparing my life with others, I compare my life with Christ. Do we really do that this morning? You know, I think of the Apostle Paul and all the books that he wrote in the New Testament and how we treasure them and all the things that are there. What if he said, well, my brother didn't do that, so why should I? What if that had been his attitude? Apostle Paul was a great man. He compared his life with Christ. How do I measure up? We could consider Paul a spiritual man. I desire to follow Christ in the Bible in principles and applications, modesty, simplicity, in speech and in conduct, in thought life. Walk after the Spirit instead of the desires of the flesh. That's the spiritual man. Not after the fads and fashions of this world. You know, something that I have pondered this, and I don't know if I don't have an answer to it. But you know, the New Testament church, the world was afraid of the church. Today we're almost afraid of the world. Why is that? My focus in my life is more on my inner character rather than outward beauty. Is that our experience this morning? Sometimes that's a little more difficult on the sister side than the brethren. But really, is my focus in here? My inner character, what it's like? We are maturing spiritually when we are willing to stand alone for the right. When the pressures are to go the wrong way. Think of Daniel in the Old Testament. That was Daniel. In a spiritual body, when I think differently then my brethren, I am willing to submit and support the body. That's spirituality, dear ones. Sometimes we hear young ones coming up, I see this, I hear this. And the body thinks maybe a little differently. What are we taught to do? Spirituality is to submit. That's for me. That's for you. When a brother taps me on the shoulder and says, what about this? What comes out of my life? It'll reveal maturity or immaturity, one or the other. Are we growing spiritually when we are growing spiritually when we're willing to return good for evil? We are maturing spiritually when we are willing to take the blame. Our Lord did that. We are maturing spiritually when we live and witness for Jesus unashamedly. Are you unashamedly to witness for Jesus? To the man that comes in your store or wherever, whatever you do, into your farm, whatever you do. Do we witness for Jesus unashamedly? Does it matter? Are we ashamed? You know, it was just a few years ago. We have a gospel stand in the local town there every now and then. Many people come into town. And one day, we had a stand in town, and just across the street from us was called PA of Unbelievers. Blaspheming us things against our Lord. I have to confess to you, that intimidated me at first. But you know, as the day went on, and people said, oh, look what's on this side and look what's on that side. We were there, gospel about Jesus is the way of life. We had a banner up there. But many people come and said, oh, we're glad you're here. We can't believe that's over there. The Lord began to work on me to the end of the day. I remember talking to those men. They had atheists written across his shoulders. Long hair. I said to him, what have you got against my Jesus? You know, at first I was almost, what am I going to do about this? I went over and talked to that young man. We started talking about his life. I said, where are you going in life? He first wanted to just put up a front of the Christianity, just another religion. I said, where are you going in life? Oh, he said, I don't know. I said, if you knew my Jesus, you would know where you're going in life. He began to drink in what I was saying to him about the gospel message. Before long, the older man came back. He said, you let him alone. We need a witness unashamedly, dear ones. It's a sign of maturity. Are we seeing that in our congregations, in our people's lives, in our own lives? A real desire to love and to live the truth, regardless of how it affects me. You know, sometimes there's things that maybe I don't do quite like I should. Am I willing to change for the good? Jude 3 says we ought to earnestly contend for the faith. Another one I have here, a willingness to go out of my comfort zone and allow God to use me for his glory. You know, I'm there this morning, I'm out of my comfort zone. But are we willing to do that? Do we see that in our congregations? Men that are willing to go out our comfort zone. Maybe teach a Sunday school class, maybe whatever it is. Never did it before. Had a young man the other Sunday stood up in Sunday school class. He said, this is my first time. Did a tremendous job teaching. A resigned will for what the Lord wants from my life. That's a powerful testimony, dear ones. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In relation to my son's accident, that testimony went to the doctors. When he was when reverses were going on in his life, he still had a smile on his face many times. It caught the attention of the doctors, the therapists, and the nurses. A resigned will. When they told him at one of the hospitals, they said, you're not going to make it. Things are just going. And my son's testimony over that time said it chose songs of commitment, songs of resignation. I were resigned. That was powerful to those people. Didn't see that before. Do we have a resigned will for what God has for us? Maybe in other areas. Maturing Christians see and evaluate things from God's perspective. In light of God's word, do we do that? Do we see that in our congregation? Our young men, are they growing into that kind of experience in their lives? One brother said to me a couple years ago, he said, Marvin, he was getting ready to buy a property. And I admire this young man. He said, no, he said, I'm not going to buy it. He said, I have to work lots of overtime and take me too much away from my family. That man's going to grow, dear ones. These must start with us as a ministry and flow out into our congregations. Seldom will a congregation rise above its ministry. Harmony in the ministry is a real blessing. Harmony in the congregation is a priceless blessing. Are we inspired by our brother's strengths and not focusing on his weaknesses? Another one I think is there. It seems we always have those in our congregations that are more on the outskirts. Brethren, what are we doing to fan the flame, to bring them in, to help mature our congregations? Yes, it's work. We should never stop growing till we leave this life. You know, that was Paul's testimony. You know, as I talk to older ones in our congregations, they still have struggles. You would think by the time they got to that age, there would be no struggles. I thought when you were 58, there would be no struggles anymore. But you know what? It's not that way. You still have battles in life. But you know, that's what our younger ones see. Signs of spiritual growth when we see people changing their lives for the good and obedience to the scriptures. You know, I wonder sometimes, what does the world see in us? How do they view us? What do they see? Do they see us more in good cooks and good farmers and good hard men work? What do they see in us? Is it Christ? What is it? What do we see they see in our lives? May we be faithful in the work that the Lord has called us to do. May the Lord help us to inspire and encourage growth in our congregations. May the Lord bless you.